TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz, Why the U.S. Invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. Judge Andrew Napolitano interviews Dennis Fritz, the author of the book Deadly Betrayal. This book gives an extraordinary and timely update to the fraudulent claim that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. It's a detailed insider account of how a Pentagon cabal strategized to manipulate intelligence, pressure the United Nations, force a congressional authorization for the use of force, and scared the American people after 9/11 into supporting an attack on Iraq. Dennis Fritz is a Pentagon insider and senior enlisted leader with nearly three decades standing. He worked directly for and advised some of the most senior general officers in the Department of Defense. They included General Richard B. Myers. He served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the height of the Iraq War. After military retirement, Fritz found himself inside Donald Rumsfeld's Pentagon, working for Douglas Feith, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and key architect of the case in favor of war. Dennis Fritz's access to thousands of personal handwritten notes, documents, and Pentagon internal conversations has allowed him to tell the hidden story of why America invaded Iraq. Reviewers of the book Deadly Betrayal say that Dennis Fritz discovered three reasons for the utterly misguided Iraq War. To restore American credibility in the Middle East, to go to war on Israel's behalf, and to deliver democracy at gunpoint. The results were a massive failure on all three counts. The reviewers state that the lessons of the Iraq War remain crucial for our own time, as various lobbies continue to try to manipulate the U.S. into still more unnecessary and reckless wars, such as an attack on Iran. In spite of the historic and contemporary significance of the book, it has remained shrouded in silence. On October 30, 2024, Judge Andrew Napolitano gave Dennis Fritz one of the first interviews on his YouTube channel, Judging Freedom. Judge Napolitano served as a New Jersey Superior Court judge and as legal analyst for Fox News. After his career in TV, Napolitano started his own YouTube show. Here is The Judge.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Our guest today is Dennis Fritz, a new friend of mine, a person whose work I have grown to admire the more I learn about it. Chief Fritz was the Chief Master Sergeant, the highest ranking enlisted person in the United States Air Force. He worked in the Pentagon. He worked for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. When he left the military, he decided to write a book about the lies we were told to get us into the war in Iraq, Deadly Betrayal, Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq. The Pentagon tried to stop him from publishing the book. He went back and forth and reluctantly agreed to some redactions, but the guts of his argument is there, and soon the guts of his argument will be here. The chief and I were privileged to work together on a panel put together by Scott Ritter at a gathering in New York City. Chief, what a pleasure.
I'm so happy to be here, Judge. A pleasure is more of mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief, give us a little bit of your background in the military that got you to the point where you were able to observe the lies and deceptions that got us into Iraq.
I spent some 28 years in the Air Force. The majority of that time was in the Pentagon. I had an unusual enlisted career where my first assignment in the Pentagon was in 1979, and I went back and forth to the Pentagon up until my retirement, and then went back as a contract employee to the Pentagon up until 2022. Now, with that said, being in the Pentagon, I had an opportunity to see a lot of policy as it was established. After 9/11, I was assigned to Andrews Air Force Base at the time. And like all of us, we were all shocked by 9/11. You know, we were really ready to go and what we would call defend our nation, our country. But after 9/11 and our invasion of Afghanistan, we started seeing, you know, operation orders mobilizing and going to Iraq and other parts of the Middle East. And that shocked me. As stated, I spent some 28 years in the Air Force, had been around intel, you know, my entire life with a top secret clearance. And I was not seeing any intel in those that I talked to about any intel of Iraq. I know you say you're going to ask about Iraq in a few minutes, but I just want to lead up to how I got to where I am.
Sure, sure.
Yes. And so when I started seeing, as a senior enlisted leader in our Air Force, not seeing the so-called intel that would really be directing us to Iraq, I started asking questions from my many years of being at the Pentagon. As stated earlier, over half my career was spent at the Pentagon. I started asking questions of folks that were assigned to the Joint Staff. A number of those folks had worked for me in previous assignments in Space Command and the Pacific Air Forces Command. And nobody could tell me about the intel that showed that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. And so I started getting concerned about that as troops would come to me and saying, hey, why are we going to Iraq? And so as an enlisted man, as a senior enlisted leader, I could not resign, but I could retire because I just couldn't see myself sending troops off to war, one that I didn't believe in, and one I didn't see any evidence that there was actually W&D and Saddam was a threat to us.
Chief, why, actually, before I ask you why we were in Iraq to begin with, what did the Pentagon try and stop you from saying in your book? What were they afraid that the public might learn?
Well, let me just phrase it like this, Judge. You know, many people say I shouldn't say this, but I consider myself a poor man's Daniel Ellsberg. And for those of you who don't remember Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers is what he's known for.
Right.
He released a classified a number of correspondence that showed that the American people were being lied to in regards to the Vietnam War. Well, likewise, setting the stage, when I decided to retire from the Air Force in my protest of the Iraq War, somehow, because of my experience, I ended up back into the Pentagon where some folks pulled me back in. As part of my duty, I was assigned, almost like Daniel Ellsberg, to a project where I had access to every pre-planning document preceding the Iraq War and the Afghanistan Wars. And the difference between Daniel Ellsberg and myself was that he released classified top secret documents, whereas my job was to review all these documents to recommend them for declassification. And from there, I saw where the lies were actually, you know, taking place, where the American people would be lied to why we went into Iraq. And I decided, as I saw such people as I was working for at the time, Doug Feith, who was the number three guy in the Pentagon, they decided that, listen, because of the historical significance and the controversy of the Iraq War, we better start declassifying some of these documents, you know, for the public. Where I come to find out that was not even the case. The case was we declassified these documents, as many have said, we cherry-picked intel to go to war. Well, that's what Doug Feith was doing. He was cherry-picking classified documents to declassify to write his book to justify the war. He was cherry-picking documents. And so I decided, can I say, Mr. Judge, I decided that I was going to follow suit and write my own book as we cherry-picked the documents we were going to declassify. As we started declassifying more, I realized there was really a story to tell to show the lies and deceit that our government was doing.
Did Saddam Hussein have weapons of mass destruction at the outset of that war?
Good question, Judge. No. And we knew that he didn't have weapons of mass destruction. And that is why you've heard stories about the Pentagon creating its own intelligence cell. The Defense Intelligence Agency, the intelligence arm of the Pentagon, was telling Wolfowitz and Feith there was no WMD to be found. Also, likewise, the CIA was telling them there is no WMD to be found. But after 9/11, in order to go to Iraq, they had to find a legitimate reason for us to invade another country. And so they were going to find some way to say that, hey, he had WMD. And what did they do? They used people like Shalabi. I'm sure you've heard that name before. He was head of the Iraqi National Congress, an opposition group. And he used a person called Curveball, who was in Germany. And Germany had already said that, hey, this guy cannot be trusted. But those were the two sources we used, Shalabi and a code named Curveball, to justify going to war and saying that he indeed had WMD. But I can tell you,
what is the true reason that the government wanted to invade Iraq if it was not to prevent Saddam Hussein from using weapons of mass destruction? Actually, before we get there, even if he had weapons of mass destruction, that could hardly be a basis for invading, could it? I mean, Israel has weapons of mass destruction. We have weapons of mass destruction. India and Pakistan have weapons of mass destruction. Why isolate Iraq?
Judge, what another great question. As I stated years ago, even if he had WMD, so what? He was still no threat to us. But once again, as I was greeted a little too, 9/11 was used as a justification. We were already a scared public because of the fact of what happened to the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And so they were going to use that him having WMD, he could put it in the hands of terrorists and get over here and do harm like another 9/11. So 9/11 was used as fear that if he had WMD. Now, you asked the question, well, why, with him being no threat, were we planning on going to war? Well, Judge, it ties into what is going on today. Bibi Netanyahu has always wanted to go to war with Iraq, Iran, and Syria, but he couldn't do it alone. But he admitted, even when he was the finance minister back in the early 2000s, before he became prime minister again, he was planning with others in the Likud party that we were going to go in and take out Hamas and Hezbollah, and we were going to do it the way he is doing it right now. But at the time when the Bush administration came in 2001, they held him off and said, we could do the dirty trick for you. And so the plan going to Iraq was part of the master plan to take out Saddam, to take out Assad in Syria, and to take out the Ayatollah in Iran. Now, why were they doing this? Well, it was on behalf of Israel. And why did we pick Iraq first? Well, under the Clinton administration, we had what we call a regime change policy. They had convinced through the old PNAC think tank that we must take out Saddam for credibility because we had a regime change policy under President Clinton, which he didn't do. And so we decided that we had somewhat legit grounds to take out Iraq as part of the master plan. Now, why were we doing that? As you can see, it's what's happening today in Gaza and now Lebanon as well. The Bush administration at the time and the neocons that was working with Bibi Netanyahu in the Pentagon, they knew we couldn't take the condemnation of the killing and the mass killings of women and children. And so the Bush administration, Doug Feith, Paul Wolfowitz, and Donald Rumsfeld came out with this plan. Also, some other names you may not have heard before. Even Newt Gingrich was part of this, and Richard Pearl was a part of, who was part of the Defense Policy Board at the time. They came up with a plan that we can't go in and just kill innocent women and children with urban warfare. What we're going to do, we're going to take out the leaders who were funding Hamas and Hezbollah. And once we take those leaders out, once again, Saddam, Assad, and Iran, we would have be able to do whatever we wanted to do in convincing the Palestinians that they had no choice but to make peace because you no longer had the financial and military support of those countries. And also, by the way, if Hezbollah and Hamas didn't have that funding and those weapons being given to them by those countries, there will be no way that the Palestinians could defend themselves.
Chief, what was accomplished by invading Iraq? And if you and I were to ask enlisted, formerly enlisted, now veterans, what were you fighting for? What would the answer be?
Well, the answer will be, there is no reason that we went to Iraq. There is no reason to be trying to go to war in Iran because it's not in the defense of our nation. You know, we talked about the book I wrote, Deadly Betrayal. I have a chapter in there called Pawns of Foreign Policy. We in the military, in which a lot of the military are sensing that now, is that we're used in these foreign policy agendas, not in defense of our country, but this so-called code slogan, defense of our interests. And what are those interests? Well, those interests are usually imperialism, just being able to control the resources of other countries. And our military are being used in support of that imperialistic agenda. And we resent that. You know, we signed up to support our country in defense of our country and our constitution, not to be policing the world. And to give you an example of that, Judge, you notice in the past year, we're having a hard time meeting our recruiting goals. And the reason behind that, the younger generation are more of a critical thinkers than we were. You know, we were indoctrinated to go into the military to defend our country. Well, that's not the case. We're realizing, especially the young folks, with the introduction of social media, that is indeed not the case. We're put in to police the world and to carry out lying, deceitful political agendas in foreign policy, and our military is being used as pawns.
Chief, this is a very courageous, insightful, fascinating, and in my view, totally accurate analysis from a unique individual, you, who spent most of your adult life in the military. Talk to us a little bit about classified documents. Is everything that's classified truly a national state secret, or is some of it just an embarrassment that the government prefers to keep from the public, and so it stamps classified on the document?
Judge, you can take this to the bank. It's about classifying certain documents to prevent embarrassment of our government and certain individuals. I've worked around top secret since I was the age of 22, and I was a top secret control officer, and I controlled top secret documents. And I can tell you in a lot of cases, and I'm sure you've seen this in the open press, we overly classify documents. And in most cases, it's to prevent embarrassment or to conceal lies and deceit of our government. Now, we tend to use the word government, but we must understand, Judge, that people make up government. You know, the United States is designed to be a fair and humane government, but it's people that get into office. And that's why voting and watching the platforms and agendas of people that wish to be in government, because it's the people with bad intentions that causes us to make bad decisions like going into Iraq. And as we're doing right now, supporting and providing the arms and weapons and financial support and diplomatic cover for Israel right now in the inhumane bombing of innocent women and children that's taking place in Gaza and Lebanon. So it's people that get into office that corrupt our government. Our government is designed to be good, but it's people that get into government with bad intentions.
Chief, do the Palestinian people in Gaza, do the Palestinian people in Lebanon, do the Iranian people in Iran pose any threat whatsoever, to the national security of the United States?
Well, let me explain it this way. No, but I want you to think about this for a moment, Judge, in your audience. If you know that the United States of America is supporting the people that are killing your mom, your dad, your son, or daughter, would you hold the United States of America accountable?
Right.
Well,
right.
Yes, you would. And so right. The reason if our national security is at risk is it's because of the support. And it's always been the case. Whether you go back to 9/11 and if you go back to bin Laden, it has always been the case. It is our national security and our agenda that are putting us at risk. Let's go back. If we were not supporting the humane things that Israel is doing right now, no, the Palestinian people are loving people. They would not, they're not a threat to us. But what causes us to have a national security possibility of having that threat from them is because of the fact our support of the killing, as I stated again, of their moms, their dads, their brothers and sisters.
Our friend and colleague, whom you know, former American ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Charles Freeman, is fond of saying in a very, very pithy way, the problem with searching the world for monsters to slay is that the monsters have a way of following you home.
Well said.
Do you think 9/11 was an inside job? Do you think some government, Israeli, Saudi, or even U.S., knew it was coming before it happened?
Judge, I have this statement I always make. I can give you facts, I can give you opinions, and I can give you assumptions. I don't know if it was an inside job. I don't know. But what I can tell you that is fact, and you take this to the bank, neocons in the Pentagon, when 9/11 happened, they were happy that it happened.
Oof.
Think about what I just said. Okay, why do you say that, Chief? Because it gave them a rationale and a justification to start their master plan of invading Iraq, Syria, and Iran later. Because as I stated earlier, 9/11 scared all of us. We had never seen anything like that since Pearl Harbor. And so they knew then they can use the justification of 9/11 and start this so-called war on terror by way we cannot never let this happen on our land again. And so this is fact right here. That gave them the justification to actually invade and start their master plan and invade Iraq first because of 9/11. And likewise, if you look at today, when I say all this ties into today, you've heard Bibi Netanyahu mention October 7th is our 9/11. It gave him justification. Oh, by the way, it didn't work our way when we were going to take out the leaders and the funding, those that were funding Hamas and Hezbollah. October the 7th gave Bibi Netanyahu to do it his way because October 7th was their, quote, quote, 9/11.
Chief, I promised I would play this for you. While you and Colonel Wilkerson and Scott Ritter and I were addressing a group of like-minded anti-war activists on the east side of Manhattan, a madman was addressing about 25,000 people over on the west side. You'll know who he is in an instant. This is about a minute long. I'd love your comments on what he had to say. Chris, cut number four.
They are our best friend. I worked for Ronald Reagan for 8 years. Ronald Reagan said, we have to be there for Israel always because they are always there for us. Hamas is not there for us. Iran is not there for us. They want to kill us. And the Palestinians are taught to kill us at 2 years old. They won't let a Palestinian in Jordan. They won't let a Palestinian in Egypt. And Harris wants to bring them to you. They may have good people. I'm sorry, I don't take a risk with people that are taught to kill Americans at two. I'm on the side of Israel. You're on the side of Israel. Donald Trump's on the side of Israel. And they're on the side of the terrorists.
What is the origin of any kind of an argument that Iran wants to attack America and that Iranian people want to kill Americans?
Judge, it goes back to what I said earlier. The Iranians, they do not hate America. In fact, in some ways, as much as possible under their law, they try to emulate us. They love Americans, but they don't love our foreign policy. Let me talk about Iran for a moment. After 9/11, Iran tried to support us, help us. They wanted to befriend us. But you know why that didn't happen? It was because of the fact of Israel and the Israeli lobby, because of their imperialistic goals of controlling the Middle East, is why we cannot be friends to Iran. Iran have nothing against us, the people of against us, but it's our government and our foreign policy and how it's being swayed by the Israeli lobby. And that's frank and that's candid. In regards to Palestinian people hating Americans, and that is not true. That is a lie. Now, I must admit now, if you see what's going on today, you see young children who's losing their mom and dads and grandparents, of course, they're not going to ever forget that, Judge. They're not going to ever forget that, you know, but they're not raised to, you know, hate Americans. Now, in some cases, yeah, there are some schools, you know, that, you know, they're trained to say, hey, the Israelis, they're our enemy. Well, guess what? If you're a refugee, you don't have the freedoms that others have, well, you will perceive them as your enemy. And guess what? We're creating more hatred of Israel. And goes back to what you said earlier, how about our national security? How does it impact our national security? Well, once again, it does impact our national security because we are complicit in what is going on in Gaza and what is going on in Lebanon right now.
The book is Deadly Betrayal, The Truth About Why the United States Invaded Iraq. The author is Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz, who I hope will become a regular on this show. Chief, what a pleasure. Pleasure meeting you, a pleasure getting to know you, and a pleasure being able to interview you. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again soon.
I sure will, Judge. You just call me and I'll be there. And thank you so much.
Thank you. All the best.
That was a conversation with Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz on the topic, Why the U.S. Invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. Fritz is the author of the book Deadly Betrayal, and he has since become a frequent guest on Judging Freedom. You can watch the full 24-minute interview on YouTube. Search for the title Dennis Fritz, Why the U.S. Invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. Professor Jeffrey Sachs, one of the best-known United Nations consultants, is also a regular guest on Judging Freedom. On December 3rd, 2024, Jeffrey Sachs had a one-hour interview that is posted on YouTube under the title Conversation with Dennis Fritz, Deadly Betrayal. Sachs says that Dennis Fritz uncovers the ugly truth behind the Iraq War in 2003 and explains how a group of high-level Pentagon officials in the Bush Jr. administration manipulated intelligence, pressured other nations, and swayed Congress and the public to support a disastrous war. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.